Broadcasting.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue to order, and we will start by calling the roll.
Senator Finley.
Senator Finley, present by video.
Senator Riley.
Present by video.
Senator Wagner.
Present by video.
Vice Chair Boquist.
Present by audio.
Madam Chair Burdick.
Present by video. It keeps going off, but I'm present. Okay, we will start today with a public hearing on House Bill 2128A.
Chair Burdick and members of the committee, this is Caitlin Harger with the Legislative Revenue Office. House Bill 2128A establishes reporting requirements of tax professionals to the Department of Revenue and in the event of a breach of security that compromises taxpayer information. The details of what information should be reported to the requirement are outlined to the department, are outlined in the bill. And it allows for alternative timeframes of that reporting in the event of information not being available at the time of the security breach. It would apply to tax years on or after January 1, 2022. And I'm happy to answer any questions the committee might have.
Okay, are there questions before we get rolling? Okay, we have two people from the Department of Revenue signed up, Marjorie Taylor and Megan Dennison. So we'll start out with you, Marjorie. Is Marjorie here? Oh, she's waiting in the lobby. Somebody needs to let her in. Okay, we'll start with Marjorie Taylor. Are you there, Marjorie?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Madam Chair. Can I assume that you've started the public hearing on 2128?
I did, and it's been summarized, and we're waiting for the real scoop from you and Megan Dennison.
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I am Marjorie Taylor, the Legislative Director for the Department of Revenue, and this is one of the Department of Revenue's agency bills for the session. And what this does, it protects taxpayer data in the event of a data breach. What we are asking in this bill is that if there is a data breach, a tax professional experiences a data breach, that they notify us within 5 days of that breach, whether it's one person or multiple people. And that we work with them to protect the taxpayer information as best possible within our systems. So I do have Megan Dennison with me in the event that you have additional questions about this, but we'll also be happy to work with our partners, our external partners, to ensure that in the event data is not immediately available to share with us, let's say a ransomware attack that prevents someone from sharing data with us, that we work with the tax professional to ensure that we get it at some point and that we actively try to protect the taxpayer data that that tax professional might have shared with us at some point in the recent past. So again, I do have Megan Dennison here who can help with some additional questions if you have them.
Okay, Senator Boquist has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was looking through preparing for this hearing and I looked at the testimony previously and the testimony submitted, and I noticed that none of the there's no testimony other than the Department of Revenue. So I'm a little curious, do the tax preparers, the attorneys, the CPAs, the enrolled agents, the lawyers, everybody on this list, are they aware this requirement is coming, and did they participate with you to put this bill together?
Madam Chair and Senator Boquist, yes, we did have conversations with H&R Block, with an external national organization who represents those tax professional, the software professionals, and then also with our CPA colleagues. They are aware of this, and we look forward again to working with them during the rulemaking process to ensure that there is some flexibility in the event that they can't immediately get data to us. However, that they notify us of a data breach as quickly as possible so that we can prevent any sort of breach within our systems and fraud, frankly, in our systems.
Do you have a follow-up, Senator Boquist?
I just had a comment. Generally in this committee, when we start talking about this, the CPAs come out of the woodwork either for or against. So I was just sort of surprised that it's like dead silence out there from these people who actually have to do the reporting. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And I think what Senator Boquist was trying to get at is, did you have any concerns from people, or do they seem pretty satisfied with the commitments you've made to work with them in the rulemaking process?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the concern that we did hear, frankly, was the Department of Justice certainly has a requirement for organizations to report data breaches through the Department of Justice website within 45 days of a breach, and a different threshold of impacted Oregonians, and that would be 250. And we appreciate there is a difference between that reporting and the reporting that we're asking from tax professionals. And what, again, we want to do is prevent fraud, and we want to protect taxpayer information. So we're asking those tax professionals to merely report to us when they experience a data breach, and we'll be more than happy to partner with them in how we can help prevent fraud within the system. And that's how we want to work with them in the rulemaking process, and we believe that they're satisfied by the conversation that we had in the time that the bill was in the House committee, and we developed an amendment that responded to some of their questions and concerns.
What do you do about this issue now under current law? Do you have any system in place?
Madam Chair, I would like to refer to Megan Dennison.
Okay, Megan.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, currently...
Could you identify yourself for the record, please?
My apologies. For the record, Megan Dennison, Compliance Section Manager for the Oregon Department of Revenue. In the past year, we detected 4 breaches of tax professionals representing over 2,300 taxpayers. In all 4 of these cases, we contacted the tax professional and they already knew of the breach and were working with the IRS. One of these breaches we discovered 6 days after it happened, and we did not lose any refunds. The other 3 breaches we discovered between 28 and 36 days after the breach happened, and we lost over 70,000 refunds. So time is really of the essence in these situations. What we've done in the past when we've discovered the breach and not had it reported to us by the professional is we work with the tax professional to obtain their client list, which is the information that we're asking for in this bill. And then we flag those taxpayers as possible identity theft, which just provides some extra protection for the taxpayers in our system so that we're not sending out fraudulent refunds in their name. And then we continue to work with the tax professional as they work with the IRS to update their licensing information and things in the IRS system so that we can make it as smooth of a process for the actual taxpayer to file their tax return and obtain the refund that they should.
Great. Senator Finley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I have to apologize. I may have been multitasking when Senator Boquist asked his question. And this could be a duplicate, but this committee has typically relied on and utilized the Oregon CPAs a great deal. They provide us a lot of written material and manuals and great presentations. And so my question is did we contact the Oregon CPAs, who is a great partner for this committee in a lot of regards, and get their input on it, or did we just go to H&R Block?
Madam Chair and Senator Finley, yes, the Oregon CPAs are aware of this, and we had conversations with them about this.
Thank you so much. And I apologize for multitasking and not paying as close of attention as I should have.
It's very hazardous not to pay attention when Senator Boquist is asking a question. Okay. Are there any other questions? Thank you. And Marjorie, I want to just reiterate, I actually remonstrated yesterday of how appreciative and impressed we are by the work that the Department of Revenue did on refunding the tax liability on the unemployment benefits. You had to do it all manually, and it was quite an impressive feat. And I understand that we're the only state that actually accomplished that in this tax cycle. So I really want to convey my appreciation and appreciation on behalf of all the taxpayers who don't now have to file amendments to get the refunds. So,
yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. We'll certainly share your words and thoughts with the rest of the team and the people who actually did the work. It was a great team effort, and they accomplished a lot in a short amount of time. And in fact, our director, Betsy Einhold, did make a brief presentation to Ways and Means a short time ago, if you want to look at that material that we provided online, summarizing the number of returns that we looked at manually and also the amount of money that we refunded to taxpayers.
So. Yeah, she was kind enough to send both to the vice chair and I the summary of what she did. And so I really appreciated that communication, if only so I'd have an opportunity to recognize how awesome we all thought it was. So great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. If there are no other questions, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2128 and open a work session on Senate Bill 743.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, this is Dave Back with the Legislative Revenue Office. Senate Bill 743 came from the Senate Education Committee, and we also heard testimonies on April 26 with all in support. As you're aware, there are two changes in the bill for purposes of the state school fund distributions. In particular, the bill addresses a school district's extended ADMW calculation, and the school district is a sponsor of a virtual public charter school. There's a little complication when a school district is a sponsor of an online charter school. So one change is to ensure funding stability to the school districts when enrollment in brick and mortar schools is declining. And that's by changing the way the extended ADMW is calculated. The bill ensures funding stability to the brick and mortar schools. And the another change is, in fact, limiting overfunding to the virtual schools when virtual schools enrollment is declining sharply. But this change is for only 21-22 school year, or 22-23 school year, so it has limited duration. We have both fiscal and revenue impact statements on all this for your review. And that's all I have, Madam Chair.
Okay, are there questions from the committee? I see no questions. We had our hearing on this earlier, and as Dave pointed out, there was no opposition. Senator Boquist, do you have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 743 to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Boquist has moved Senate Bill 743 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Senator Wagner, do you have anything to say about this?
No, Madam Chair.
Senator Wagner is a former school board chair and former chair of the Education Committee. So, just for the record. Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Senator Finley.
Senator Finley votes no.
Senator Riley.
Aye.
Senator Wagner.
Wagner votes aye.
Vice Chair Boquist.
Boquist votes aye.
Madam Chair Burdick.
Burdick votes aye. And we will ask our education expert, Senator Wagner, to carry this bill.
My honor.
Thank you in advance. Okay, that completes our work for the day. Chris, is there anything else we need to do before we sign off?
Just to be aware, Madam Chair, that tomorrow you will receive the economic revenue forecast, but you will not be meeting at your regular time.
Okay, so that forecast will be the House Revenue Committee at 3:15, correct, Chris?
Correct.
And so you should all have links in your team's calendar for that. Okay, with that, enjoy the rest of your day, everyone, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.